Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All of the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or on your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, I'm tired. I was on the freeway for like 3.5 hours coming back from UCLA. But it's all part of the grind, right? So I'm all for it. It's not the end of the world. I had Chick-fil-A, so that was good. But how was your day? What's going on with you, Josh?
I mean, it was a good day for me. I didn't have to do all that. Getting ready to go back up to Canada. So That's cool. And yeah, when I went to a practice, it was Saturday, so the traffic was cleared up.
Yeah, I got to get on that Saturday grind. So actually, real quick, before we get started, we'll talk about your visit on Saturday. But have I told you? Okay, so there were some, you know, all the kids are coming. They're visiting from their different schools and whatnot. And this school from Vegas came down. And they went to USC practice in the morning and then went to UCLA practice. Have I told you what time the USC practice starts?
7?
No.
Earlier than that?
Yes.
6:30?
No.
6 a.m.?
No.
5:30?
Lincoln Riley has them out there at 5 a.m. like once or twice a week.
That's insane.
So my colleague to go out. My colleague is standing out there taking videos of practice in the dark. Like it's literally still dark. I don't know
what's going on over there, but this has been seeing weird things, like having them doing up downs on the concrete in front of the Coliseum. Like
I haven't seen that. That's crazy.
it's on their page, and that just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense for the athletes to be doing that. And like, I don't know what's going on over there, man.
It's crazy times over there. But let's get back to Westwood. Speaking of Westwood, you had a trip out to Westwood, paid a visit to your alma mater. How was it?
Man, it was such a great time. Like the energy is back. Like it has me fired. Like I wish I was on this team. It made me feel like the old days, just seeing all the, you know, familiar faces and just, yeah, the energy of practice was intense off the rip. Me and Chris Barnes went together to this practice. And as soon as we walking up to the building, we got showed love, you know what I'm saying? Just immediately. And then before practice, we got down on the field. And the first two people that come to us is Scott White and Coach Foss. and just come and chop it up with us and, you know, ask how we're doing and everything. And I mean, I've told them before, so give me a few years and I'll be on the staff. And one of the things that Coach Foss told me is he ain't going nowhere. So that's, I think that's a big thing for the program of somebody that, you know, believes in it and understands that, you know, this is going to be a process, but he's all in for it. And then they're like, oh, we're about to start this practice up with, like Oklahoma, like a one-on-ones Oklahoma drill to start practice off.
There was like a lot of hype. Yeah, there was a lot of hype for this one. Yeah.
So they had, I mean, they had the little promo video I think you've seen on social media where they had the matchups on the board. I'm like, okay, this reminds me of Street Fighter stuff. But okay, so like, I think this is a build-up. I think we're about to bring Pride Alley back for the fans that know, you know, the OG UCLA Bruin fans of back in the Bruin Revolution. You can look up Pride Alley on YouTube and see what that's all about, which is pretty much an extended version of Oklahoma drills. And I think it's a build up to getting back to that. I would love to see Pride Alley take place in the Rose Bowl for the spring game. That would be electric. So, you know, that's how they open it up. I was right in the huddle of everybody. I was close. You know, I had to move out the way a few times, but that's what I wanted to feel, you know, be a part of the practice. And I mean, from then on, just the tempo, the energy, you know, having music, having, I mean, a lot of running around. I know Coach Foster has mentioned it. Just they do a lot of running, which I that's one of the parts I don't think I would have liked as a player because it's pretty much conditioning the whole practice.
Yeah.
But it's going to pay off, you know, during the season when you're not tired and able to, you know, get stronger as the game goes on.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they mentioned or that was intentional, that I guess they don't spend a lot of time, like they don't do conditioning periods more or less, but it's like after each play, you'll notice them. I think they're running, even kind of said today, like they'll run 40 yards after the play, which I kind of thought, like, why stop at 40? Go. I thought the whole thing was a run into the end zone.
But they I mean, no. So it is. So even say they're doing a short yardage period. So it could be like third and one. And usually, I mean, back in the day, it'd be like defense gets to stop. You get to jog off the, you know, jog off to the side. You won the rep. But when you're done as a defense, your plays are done. You're running all the way back to the end zone, which can be.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if you're a safety, I guess it could be shorter, but that's D lineman running 40 yards.
Right.
And it's a full sprint, you know what I'm saying? Where nobody wants to be last and everybody's really hauling to get there. And yeah, you see guys getting after it. Like you know what I'm saying? Where I'm saying that's the thing where I understand where Coach saying we want to save their legs because when you're going that high intense with these team periods, it can wear on you. So I understand why, you know, you have shorter days and try to get the guy's legs back and be able to be full go. And like you said, like the numbers might not be there. So you want to, you know, keep everybody healthy so you can have as many bodies throughout the whole duration of spring ball.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you, and you kind of talked about like the tempo of practice and whatnot. Obviously, I think from the media standpoint, we noticed things moved a lot faster with Chip, like whether it was like no huddle stuff or just in general, maybe by like year three and four, everything's kind of, you know, the basic stuff's kind of the foundation is kind of laid for the offense. So they're probably moving a little bit quicker. And that's kind of what I think is happening with Bieniemy in the offense. Everything's a little bit slower. The word that they hit that Eric Bieniemy mentioned when we talked to him and Coach Foster talked about was installs and kind of how they're just getting like the base install stuff in. And I think the goal is to try and have two installs or have that Wednesday and Friday. No, wait, what is it? No, Tuesday and Thursday practices be like install day. And then the Saturday is kind of that review of what you learned throughout the week. And you can also, they have that fun kind of, you know, all the fun stuff that you kind of got to see. Is that kind of normal? Is that kind of, you know, and just tell me a little bit about what the install stuff is like, just like what is in general, what does that mean or what could it mean? Is it just like a package or a formation or how does it kind of laid out to you guys as players?
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to have this kind of pattern of Tuesday, Thursday, and then you know, review Saturday, because that's kind of similar to how it's going to be during the season. You know, usually have installs day one and two, maybe day three, the work days of the week. And then Saturday's the game, which is, you know, the ultimate test. So installs are, I mean, it could be packages, formations, and plays. I mean, it's just a group. It's just a group of plays for the day of, you know, maybe this is what we're running this week. That could be the install. But for spring, I mean, they're definitely, you know, laying down the foundation. So installs are going to be, you know, the first install is going to be pretty, you know, could be pretty generic. And then the second install could be a new package and certain new plays. Third install could be certain blitzes or a different family of plays. You know what I'm saying? Offense is very different than defense when it comes to installs, because right. offense definitely has a lot more plays and variations. Defense, there's only so many coverages you could play. I mean, you could dial it up with blitzes and disguises, but there's only so many coverages, you know, that a defense can play. So, and at the same time, this is a brand new offense versus defense. I think there's a lot of similarities from you know, carryover with Malloy. And, you know, there are a few new pieces on the staff, you know, Scott White, Tony Washington. And they're like, I've heard from them personally that the players are helping them, you know, kind of pick up the things that they already know and, you know, and carry over. And then, so the different paces. And I mean, I started the practice watching the offense, and Coach EV was definitely like, for what, you know, what I heard, I saw it in person. And if he, it doesn't matter who you are, if you mess up, he's going to get on you. Mm-hmm. And as a player, you got to love that, because I mean, that's just getting you better. And he definitely is trying to build that up. I think, this whole thing, this year is going to be a process. I mean, and I think the fans, alum, and everybody needs to understand that, you know, that, I mean, of course we want the quick results, but I think, you know, it's just going to be a process and building on it. So as long as everybody can stay together, the future is bright, but there might be, you know, some rough patches. So,
Yeah, I think, so that's a good point. So actually, so that's one of the things that us in the media, we kind of learned pretty early on, is like, oh, okay, EB's going to kind of be that vocal coach, much like Norton kind of was last year. So EB, he's very kind of, he doesn't hold back. And so the one thing, and I'm not calling out TJ Harden, or I'm not trying to embarrass him or whatever, but the first practice we saw, EB was getting on TJ Harden. And what I took away from that was, oh, like, he's not going to be like, oh, that's my starting running back, he gets a pass. Like, he's like, he was going after everybody. He doesn't care, like, who you are, if you're the starting quarterback, starting running back, whatever the expectations were. It's kind of just a clean slate as far as he knows with everybody, right? But it was kind of refreshing, though, too, because when we got to talk to him, the media got to interview him for the first time since he had been hired. And he's a great interview. He's really good. And he was very calm. He was very kind of like classy in his approach, and just, you know, he often would refer to them as like young men, or like have this understanding of like, they're more than just players, or they're more than just chess pieces on a board. Like, he's trying to teach them life lessons and other things at the end of the day. Right. Like, I don't know. It was like, even if it's just him saying all the right things, even if you're just saying all the right things, that means you're still kind of semi-aware of what, you know, what you're trying to present, right? So he came off very impressive, but it is kind of two different sides of the coin when you're seeing him in the middle of practice. And obviously you're in the middle of practice, so it was a little bit intense, but it was funny. Someone even mentioned that about TJ Harden kind of getting an earful from EB on Twitter, and TJ Harden's mom said, like, TJ has no problem with that. Like, he's all about it. He knows that EB is a guy who had been in the NFL, and, you know, EB is going to kind of help guide him and lead him and teach him all the things that he needs so he can prepare himself for the next level. So he's like, you know, it's not something that TJ Harden is like kind of taking personal or anything like that. So, you know, I just thought it was kind of refreshing to see that. And I think that it, at least for me, when I was on the football team, if you see the star player getting yelled at and they don't get the special treatment, it kind of went a long way, because it's not like they're just kind of making an example out of all the backups and just, you know, giving favoritism mm-hmm. to the starters. So
yeah, I think he sees greatness. I think he sees greatness in Harden. And that's why he's so tough on him.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things I've noticed too is like the conditioning isn't there for a lot of the guys, but again, it's only the first full week of spring practice. But Eric Bieniemy did mention that he was impressed with the offense so far, just from the fact that I guess they did a spring practice before spring break. And so maybe there was a little bit of the basics that he kind of presented to them, maybe gave them some sort of a basic playbook or something. But he said that the offense picked up the early stuff pretty quickly, and they're already ahead of schedule in terms of what it was that he was trying to present and put out there. So he was kind of happy with what he saw from the guys early on. And he kind of admitted like, hey, there's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days. You know, there's, I think the day we talked to him, he's like, hey, the defense had a hell of a day. You know, they looked good out there, and we have some things to work on, but we'll come out the next day and we'll try and have a better day and whatnot. So again, I think it was kind of just cool to hear that, at least if I was a player, to know that my coach has that understanding of, hey, we're all still just trying to learn this together here. So it's like some days are going to be uglier than others, but it's definitely a different vibe for sure. It's a lot more relaxing, I think, even just for us in the media. And it's just kind of interesting watching Foster kind of go and watch the cornerbacks and then go over to the safeties and whatnot. We were even kind of joking with Martin Jarman, who was there at the first practice, who said when he showed up to practice, he caught EB and Deshaun Foster, both being former running backs, over with the running backs. And Martin Jarman's like, what are you guys all doing? And then Deshaun Foster made the joke. He's like, I mean, if he would have came 5 minutes earlier, he would have seen me with the defense. Of course, he would have just caught me with the running backs. So everyone kind of got a laugh out of that. Like, Foster can't get away from the running backs. But no, but it's just been interesting to kind of see Foster kind of work the fields and take everything in. And it's kind of good. I mean, it would be easy to compare him to Chip Kelly and say, oh, yeah, it's two different styles. But it's just been refreshing with some of the different things that we've seen out there. I think for those who haven't been following my tweets, even just the punt return guys, it's a little bit more normalized than what others were used to seeing last year with a big body like Colson Yankoff, obviously, returning some balls. But you have Keegan Jones, Logan Loya. I think Jalen Davies was even in that mix a little bit. And then I'm blanking on another name. But they're obviously, you know, trying to get the most out of all these different guys, put them in different positions. Are you familiar with David Magna? I think you said you were, right?
Yeah, so I know he made that transition to play center.
Yeah, he's kind of the next defensive lineman to switch over. Mafi, Boss, right? There's kind of been some successful guys that have made that switch. So,
yeah, I mean, and the reasoning for him, he felt like center is his best bet of having a shot at the NFL. So that was sacrificing maybe being rotation on defense, you know, was him going all in and taking a shot at moving to center. And he was a smart kid. So if he can figure it out, there's potential there.
Yeah. And I think that's obviously just the one hole on that offensive line. We did talk to Josh Carlin today. They seem to be very happy with Juan Castillo taking over, who's a pretty experienced coach from the NFL. Josh Carlin even joked and said that Juan Castillo had been coaching in the NFL longer than he's been born. So there's a whole lot of experience that comes over on that offensive line. And, you know, we'll see. Things look promising right now, right? And if you can get the center situated and get that kind of locked down, I think these guys can at least take a step forward, with most of them kind of being in their second year together. Obviously, having guys like Garbers and TJ Harden will help make things familiar there for the offense. One guy who stood out to me, maybe you saw the same thing, or maybe, you know, if you were to go again, someone to keep an eye on. Did you see Titus, number two, out there at all? Did you kind of see him running around making plays? Because he was kind of a standout for me early on. I don't know if there was any guys that stood out to you on offense other than Harden.
On offense, I mean, having Keegan Jones back there, he looked fast.
Keegan Jones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, Hudson Hammermill.
Yep.
And I'm blanking on his name. The tight end that transferred from Oregon last year.
Oh, Maliki, yeah.
I mean, all the receivers flying around, Logan Loyola look good. But Justin Martin, I think, out of the bunch, was somebody that caught my eye. People kept asking me about him. A lot of people want to see him get a shot. And from what I've seen, I hope he does get opportunity eventually. And if it comes down to a battle, you know, like have a fair shot at it. I know Ethan Garbers is the vet and has had the most playing experience, but I think Justin Martin has looked good and should be given a fair shot.
I think one of the more refreshing things from the, I'm so glad you mentioned Justin Martin, because one, everyone's been asking me about him too, the same way they've been asking you. But for as crowded as that quarterback room was last year, it's kind of thinned out. I mean, you're going to have some freshmen coming in, whatnot, but it's like you kind of, you know, you see Ethan Garbers working with the first team. You see Justin Martin working with the second team, and those guys will, you know, obviously compete. But it's not this crowded rotation of guys all competing for the first team reps. Dante Moore, everybody. Colin Schley has transferred out. Deshaun Foster said he wants to be closer to home. And that may have been a factor for him and his decision to transfer, but he transferred out. So obviously that kind of opens the door even more for someone like Justin Martin to kind of really get those second team reps and kind of be someone that the fans are obviously excited about, because they were asking me about Justin Martin when he was a freshman. And I'm like, the dude's a freshman and DTR still on the team. Like, you're not going to see a lot of Justin Martin. But yeah, I think Justin Martin, it's kind of his time. He's going to, and Deshaun Foster even kind of said that, like, this is his time. This is time to step up, have that chance to at least solidify himself as the backup. If not, you know, kind of push Ethan Garbers to be the starter. So,
yeah, I'm not saying for there to be a, you know, a rotation and not know who the starter is every week it was last year. But I'm saying is, you know, it's a long season and, you know, quarterbacks haven't played every game for us the past few years. So there's going to be a time where Justin Martin's going to have to go in the game. And I think he'll be ready. And if in fall camp, if it came down to it and it'd be a real competition, I think, you know, let him have a fair shot. But if Ethan, you know, comes to fall camp looking like the guy, don't even make it a, you know, a battle. So like I said, that's who it was. Defense though.
Yeah. Let's talk about your defense.
You know me, because initially, like I said, I was watching the offense, and then at a certain point, I was like, "What am I doing? I'm a defensive guy." I was like, "This is what they do for Indy. This is kind of boring. Let me go over to the defensive side." I wanted to see, you know, what Scott White had the linebackers doing. Another thing, when I first got there, one of the first players that came up to me and said hi and introduced himself to me was Femi. That was the first time I was able to really meet him. And he,
what do you think, big boy, right?
This is, I mean, it was like me looking him eye to eye. We both, and it's like, you know, I used to be two. And I was like,
that's right.
I was like, this makes me feel good, man. I'm glad that two was somebody like you. But I'm saying this now, this is going to be his breakout year. I think, you know, you get him with more experience, like I said, with a guy like Scott White to just, you know, get his IQ even higher. And if he just, you know, becomes more instinctual and just goes, I think he's the next one. You know what I'm saying? You got him, Kane Medrano, and then you get Ali Cajo back. And I think, those three is a serious combination of, you know, even the Jalen Woods, it might be in the last name, but he stood out to me with the twos. And I was like, immediately I went to Chris and I was like, he reminds me of Jaylen Brown. Just like, he's a ball player. You know, he's a gamer. He, you know, might not be the biggest guy, but he's going to make an offensive lineman miss and he's going to get to the ball. And it's as soon as I brought it up to Scott White and he was like, yep, I totally agree. So that's a future name to look out for. You know, hopefully he continues to grow up and can work his way into the rotation. So yeah, linebacker group solid. interior D line, you know, look good with, you know, Jay's big in there. And having Siale move back from offensive line to D line.
Yeah, that's right.
The only thing, that's my little brother, but the only thing, he needs to stay on sides. He had a few offsides penalties, which I know if I was in there, I would have been a little pissed. But he looked good run stopping and playing in there. I think the edges just need more experience. I think run stopping is good. I think pass rushing is going to be one of the biggest things that we need to improve on. And it's so crazy to me. Like, if I'm a recruit, if I'm in the portal, and I think it'll be more known after this draft when you see potentially 4 UCLA edge rushers go to teams. I'm including Carl Jones. I mean, he'll be probably inside linebacker or a different position in the NFL. But when you see, yeah, at least 3 get drafted with, I think, the Twins and Latu, and you're like, okay, UCLA is putting out edge rushers. Oh, nobody else, you know, committed. Nobody else is. I'm signing to UCLA immediately because I know that they're producing, getting guys to NFL, which is, should be everybody's goal. And 2, it's like, it's open. So I think that the portal will hit for us, I think, after the draft, in the next window, get some people in there, because the edges that we have now, I think they just have to keep developing pass rush, because they can play the run. Like, they look in the run, it looks normal to them. So I think pass rushing just needs to become, you know, more fluid. DB wise, lots of, I feel like, you know, vets all around. Jalen Davies looked really good. Kirkwood on the other side. And then Addison coming in, 7th year guy. Yeah. I remember somebody's like, who is that? Like, he's so tall playing DB. I'm like,
yeah. That's what everyone says. Yeah.
He's there's no other safeties as tall as him. Like, he's going to be able to cover ground, stop deep balls and jump balls and all that. So, like you said, with camp and with the offense understanding that everybody's going to have their day, when I went, it was a defensive day, which is what I love to see. You know, there was quite a few interceptions and takeaways and short yardage stops. So the defense looked good, and I'm really excited to see how they build. And, yeah, like I said, maybe a few more pieces that they add on the edges, and you get Ali Cajo back, which I've heard that he's the guy. Like I said, Femi's the breakout, but Ali Cajo, I think, is kind of what the defense has been missing. As far as, I mean, I love Darius, and I mean, he can go sideline to sideline. And I think Ali Cajo can kind of be that for us. So him and, Femi, I think, you know, we're going to be in business on defense.
Yeah. So everyone, just like they ask about Justin Martin, the same guy on defense, Ali Cajo. Everyone wants to ask about Ali Cajo. Everyone wants to know about Ali Cajo. So I make it a point to look out for him. Today, we're recording this on, what's today, Tuesday. He was doing individual workouts. He's still kind of off to the side there as the team is kind of doing 7-on-7, 11-on-11 stuff. So he's still kind of working his way back. We asked Deshaun Foster again today. That the first time we asked him after the first practice, he said next week. So this is now next week. But he didn't want to put a time or a date on him and say when he's going to come back, just because if he doesn't come back, right? Like, if he doesn't come back right away, but obviously he's working towards kind of coming back. So obviously the minute I see him in the lineup, I'll tweet that with an update saying that he's kind of back, but, it sounds like he's getting close. They're kind of getting him going a little bit, and, we'll see where he fits in. Is he a guy, is Femi's kind of the guy in the middle, right? You're not taking Femi out of the middle or where? I haven't really
been. The thing is how athletic Femi is. I mean, I think all those guys can kind of move around and be in different packages, and kind of, you know, if you want to go to a 5 down front in a certain situation, you could put Femi down outside. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Certain things like that.
Yeah.
But as of now, I think, yeah, Femi's the true Mike, and the kind of Will and Sams are kind of rotating around them. Yeah, so I don't know if Ali Cajo will kind of rotate in that Mike spot or work on one of the outsides, but he looked antsy. and he looked ready to go. Me personally, I wouldn't rush him in spring ball. I would kind of wait for fall camp because
that's kind of what Deshaun's doing. Yeah.
Guys are still young and guys are, you know, learning how to practice and learning how to compete, which is, I mean, it's college. So as the progression goes from high school up to pros, you see less people on the ground. And you know, in the pro level, if you're on the ground, it's that's a lot of times it's bad. Dudes are getting hurt or, you know, that's how dudes get cut. In college, you kind of are figuring that out, how to stay up. So I wouldn't rush him back in just because, you know, young guys are trying to, you know, get their feet wet. And guys that might not have had the most experience playing last year are trying to, you know, earn a name with new coaches and show out and do certain things. So I think the staff knows what Ali Kaho can do. And I think having him, you know, 100% ready for fall camp going into the season is just more important than you know, having him get spring ball reps.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No doubt about it. Real quick, just going back to the edge rushers. So right now working with the ones is Devin Apayu, I believe is the last name. And then Jacob Busick, who is a – well, actually, I had forgotten all about it. But Devin transferred from Notre Dame, I think, during the 2020 season or after, before – I think after the 2020 season, he transferred in from Notre Dame. I totally forgot he transferred in. It had been that long. I just thought he had gotten was brought in to Westwood out of high school. But and then Jacob Busick is the other one who's just transferred in from Navy. I guess Navy doesn't do like 5 years or wasn't really doing anything with the COVID year. So he had to go elsewhere. So he came to UCLA. So those are the two guys who are working with the first team as edge rushers. But Deshaun Foster did not really kind of shy away from the fact that they will explore the portal, and that's going to be a priority. He's not saying he said he's happy with what he has and what those guys are, but just in terms of depth, like you need to address.
Edge rushers,
transfer out earlier this week.
I was like, edges is definitely one of the most rotated, you know, spots on a defense. Is the D line and specifically edge rushers, guys that can, you know, come in on pass situations. I mean, that's what we saw last season is, I mean, of course, the outside guys are all rotating in. You never know if there's going to be Latu and you know, one of the twins or Carl and one of the twins. And then they had that third down package, which is usually, you know, like a NASCAR package where all four guys are rushers.
Right.
You know, you take your nose out, you take your three tech out. And, Yeah, right now I don't think we have the depth to be able to do that. And that's why I said pass rushes is definitely one of the things we need to work on. Of course, we're going to the, you know, the Big Ten, and you know, play style could be a little different where you know that package might not be utilized as much. You need more run stopping ability, which I think we have. But when it's going to come down to those key third downs, I think we need to add a little more firepower.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see. There's, I think, a guy from Miami, obviously they got Collins from the University of Miami, who transferred in as an edge rusher during the offseason, UCLA did. But there's another Miami edge rusher who just went in the portal. A bunch of different guys are going to start going in the portal. That spring window opens, just so everyone can mark their calendar, is from April 15th through the 30th. And just from the few times we talked to Deshaun Foster, he'll look at his Apple Watch and kind of like say, yep, 9 days away. So he's like kind of keeping track of just kind of, you know, obviously what's
going to be out there. I mean, he missed. Yeah, he missed his, you know, the biggest wave of, you know, right after the season, that mm-hmm. recruiting window. So, like, this is a really important time. And, like, his first time to really, you know, take advantage of the portal.
Yeah, and a lot of people see this window as, like, they kind of went through spring ball they're kind of early on through spring ball and they're kind of realizing that maybe they're not going to be in the rotation or they're not going to be a starter the way they maybe thought they were going to be or something. So you'll see some guys leave that way. But going back to USC, we don't have to spend too much time talking about USC, but I don't know if you saw today, but Bear Alexander went into the portal today. He's a guy who...
Does that name sound familiar?
Yeah, he started on the defensive line for them last year, I believe. He was a big transfer. He transferred from Georgia, I believe. And then the thing that they're saying is he's now going to be transferring to his seventh school in 7 years, going back to high school. Like, he went to like three different high schools. Including like IMG. Oh, I think the last school, I don't know what two high schools he went to before, but then I think he went to IMG, Georgia, and then USC. So he's definitely a big name. I'm not saying UCLA is going to get him, but those are the guys. Like, there are like some starter quality guys that are out there. And he's more of a defensive tackle, I would imagine, more than an edge rusher, but there is still going to be some starter level potential guys out there. And obviously everyone's hopeful that because the Murphy twins and because lots of you came from the portal, they think, you know, there's probably gonna be a little bit of a higher expectation for anybody that they get. But I always, I've kind of told the fans over the last month, don't have the expectation that the next person who comes in there is going to be Latu or that you still have Latu on the team, because you're only going to, you know, be hurting yourself if someone doesn't live up to expectation or they're not playing to the level Latu was playing at, which is just hard to do because Latu is on a whole different level. Obviously as a guy who's going to get drafted here in the first round, but yeah, I think the portal movement should be interesting. I do want to mention, you mentioned the interceptions, and then I want to get back to some of the environment stuff as we do kind of wrap things up here a little bit, but you mentioned some of the interceptions for the defense. One of them was, I think, Christian Dunbar Hawkins, Armand's son. He had one of the interceptions, I believe. And then the other one was Kanye Clark, which they kind of made a highlight out of. And they were playing. I don't know if you saw that video today on the UCLA Facebook page. They were playing that in the meeting room and ended up getting a scholarship. In the video, he says Deshaun Foster says because of that play, but he kind of expanded on it further. He just kind of liked what Kanye Clark did during his freshman year last year. So it was nice to see someone get a scholarship and, you know, kind of doing the surprise thing. They called him up in front of the team and the team kind of rallied around him and swarmed him. We haven't had one of those since Ethan Fernandez, I think. Like, it's been that long. Alex Johnson was actually probably the last one. But even that was like 2 years ago.
I mean, you're not going to have one of those every year where it's made public.
True, but
usually you have a guy or two every year that you know, earns a scholarship, which is always awesome to see and be a part of.
Yeah, it was good to see. That was a big part of the story I wrote today, was just kind of including some of that, because you always want to recognize those guys, because, you know, it's always pretty impressive whenever you've kind of worked your way into a spot where whether you're a walk-on or whatever, you're still able to catch the coach's eye and earn a scholarship for yourself. So congratulations to him. I want to get back to more of your experience there. Saturday, I always see as the big day during spring practice where you have a lot of the recruits and all these different families and kids and, you know, groups from the high schools or the 7-on-7 teams going. What was kind of that environment like? Did you see just a lot of young football players kind of walking around, or what was just kind of the vibe of like just the recruiting aspect? Not that you were in the middle of it, but just kind of maybe what you saw from afar, just kind of being in the middle of it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of local high schools and JUCOs and them there with their coaches, you know, big groups of that. Yeah, it was a good mixture of that and alumni on the sidelines that day. And it's cool. Yeah. Having open practice and seeing the fans along the wall again.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, be there and experience it. And hopefully, you know, they bring a little energy to the practice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's alive. And like I said, the energy is good in Westwood, and excited, you know, to see how this continues to grow.
Yeah. There's been a lot of positive stuff just with like different coaches that I've different high school coaches that I've talked to, or some of the players, even just talking a little bit with Weston Port a little bit on Twitter. They're all just kind of excited and they can kind of see things. They're just like kind of ramping up and kind of going to a different level. Did you get a chance to meet Stacy Ford at all? He's kind of the new head of recruiting guy. He might have been busy.
Yeah, he was moving around a lot. He was busy. Yeah, but I seen him a little bit, but I didn't get to introduce myself.
A lot of positive things being said about him. So he's kind of hit the ground running, obviously, as the one who's kind of taking over that recruiting department a little bit. But a lot of positive buzz from that standpoint. And I think it was obviously a smart move to have the alumni there. And they kind of get to see the recruits kind of get to see them. I know you had MJD was there, I believe, and you know, some other notable guys, I'm sure, that would kind of catch the eye of even recruits as you know, oh my God, there's MJD or whoever the kid, oh my God, there's Josh Woods and Chris Barnes. So
I know what you're saying, that Chris Barnes, I guess.
I think that was kind of cool for them to have just kind of have that out there. Did you get a chance to talk to MJD or any of the other alumni, anyone maybe you got to meet for the first time among that alumni group?
To meet alumni? No, I think, you know, just highs, and, you know, there was a lot of OGs there that I didn't know. I mean,
that's kind of what I'm asking. You don't have to give names, but like, was there even some OGs that you weren't even like familiar with there?
I mean, there was a whole class of, you know, OGs that, you know, Rose Bowl, you know, type teams, like, yeah, I think 70s and 80s, like,
yeah,
a big group of them were there, and then all the way down to, you know, John Gaines and some of the guys that have just, you know, just recently left the program. But honestly, a lot of the love and, you know, respect I got was from the current players, just, even the ones, like I said, Femi, like guys that I haven't met before coming, you know, introduce themselves, saying what's up. And just asking, you know, just picking game, you know, asking for advice and, you know, how I'm doing and things like that, of that nature. And, you know, like I said, having a guy like Scott White, who I credit a lot of, you know, my growth in my football IQ and knowledge of the game. I was just telling the linebackers, like, bruh, you have a really good resource right now. You need to, you know, get with him as much as you can and get on that board. And, you know, that's especially, you know, it's telling like camera drawing. I'm like, bro, take advantage of having this guy in the building and, you know, being there as much as you can on that board. So excited to, see where the program is going and feeling the love. I'm going to try to get to the spring game. I know a lot of the other alumni are going to as well. So, it should be exciting. I don't know. Coach Foster was saying something. I don't know if they're going to have alumni some way. I think a part of the spring game, maybe signing autographs or something.
Maybe. I think I did hear something about that. Like, they're doing autograph signings. I heard about the current players. You might.
Yeah, that, I know that's always the thing. I think they'll let the fans on the field with the current players, but if you catch me or any of the other, you know, guys around, come say what's up.
Was that something they did before? I think you said you only were there for one Rose Bowl spring game, I think, during your time. But was that like a thing? Even when you were being recruited, did they have that kind of engagement and interaction with?
I remember there were two players where their lines were so long that they had to cut it.
Oh, damn.
Josh Rosen and Miles Jack. Like, okay. Miles Jack was literally getting
while they were current, while they were like, current players, security, right?
Security had to block him off and
damn.
Yeah. And for him to be like, okay, Miles got to go. Damn. Yeah, but I've never seen alumni do it. But yeah, those two, I remember like having a really long line.
Was Miles Jack a five-star?
I don't think so, but he was him.
I'm just kind of curious, like what kind of like superstars? Because I know obviously there was a lot of buzz on Rosen, obviously. So like that was someone I'm not surprised.
Oh yeah, my class had a good handful of. Well, that class had a good. I think a lot of five stars as well. But I know that class and my class probably had the most five stars in recruiting.
Oh, just in general at UCLA?
I think, well, yeah, those were like two I know of the highest ranked classes, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. Okay, good deal. Trying to think of anything else. The guys are still getting fed well. I kind of asked about the nutrition. They said that. They said the nutrition is more or less the same, except the food is a lot tastier now. I'll leave it at that.
that's a Shea Pitts question.
Speaking of Shea Pitts, that's someone I wanted to ask you about. Did you catch up with him?
Coach Shea. It's so weird to see him in a coaching role, like for me personally.
He came
to me before the practice and was like, do you want to play script? And I was like, no, Shay, I don't want to play script. He's like, my bad. They told me to ask the alumni.
So what, like the schedule, like the period?
Yeah, and all that.
You got one, fool.
It's just funny because it's Shay. But like, yeah, seeing Shay out there, bringing the energy, making sure the situation is set up right, like the down markers are set up, the right group is on the field. Mm-hmm. Just seeing him in that role is fun to see.
And so one thing about him, he's working with the defensive backs now. I think he's working with the cornerbacks now. I don't know if you noticed that, but he's working with the cornerbacks now, which is a little different because he was with Norton and the linebackers last year. So good to still see him there. I guess my other final question for you is, like, what else did you guys get to do while you were there? Like, you guys got to watch practice, but did you guys get to go in the facility? Does the facility look any different than what it was when you were? I don't think you guys had the VR stuff back in the day, but
they were building it up. me and Chris went, just kind of, we kind of got there a little earlier, so we kind of walking around, went in the linebacker room, just to see how stuff was set up. They got fridges in the position rooms now. They didn't have that. Chris is fat, so he checked and see if there was any food in the training table, in the trays, the little burner tray. You know what I'm saying? Like the you know, like catering trays.
He was opening
those up to see if there was still food.
Oh yeah, the metal burners. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we went around practice. I mean, if we wanted to do stuff, like we went down to the locker room after, but it's like a opening family environment again, I think I would say, where just like as an alumni, feeling the love. And that feeling of family, and like Coach Foster said, like he wants, you know, people around, you know, to support the program and like just be there for the player, just having, you know, being a resource. So I think, like I said, I think everything's going in the right direction. And then just trust the process.
Everything seems to be going in the right direction. A lot of fans are obviously excited. I think I'm going to try and get out there this Saturday. I might not go Thursday, but I'm going to try and be there Saturday just because I want to see the people on the wall. Was it like packed? Like, was the wall full? Because it's kind of thin on the weekdays. Obviously, people are working and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good amount. It's just seeing faces, you know, is Bruin fans there just. Yeah, having them be a part of
being involved.
Yeah. And you know, opening it up to them, like as fans, like you're a part of this too, you know what I'm saying? So Yeah, it's a good time at UCLA right now.
Look, man, I'm just trying to go on a Saturday, see some nice folks from Twitter. Hopefully they got a grill going or something. I don't know if you have the grill going in the parking structure, but
somebody should get one going. Tailgate.
Like,
yeah,
go all out with tailgating it.
Saturday practices.
Make it an event. Have the time of your life. But no, it was all good. It's been good. It's been good vibes out there. Deshaun Foster has been great. I did ask him, I don't want to say a difficult question, but we're just kind of like, you're kind of moving past all the easy questions now. So I'll throw this one at you real quick. So I don't know if you saw, Chip had offered, and maybe you can explain, and I think I kind of know why. Chip offered a long snapper from Elon. So he transferred in.
Where is Elon? I only know Elon Musk.
Okay, good question. Let's look it up. I'm going to guess like New York or something. North Carolina, a private university in North Carolina. I don't know if that's Division II or what. Anyways, so they offer this long snapper. He was like third most efficient long snapper or something. One of the ones ahead of him was Bo Gardner, who left UCLA and went to be the long snapper at Georgia during the offseason. But so he wasn't even this long snapper wasn't even on the spring roster. But apparently what he said on Twitter yesterday was, oh, they called him and told him that he was not going to be on the team. He said, oh, you're not going to be on the team. It's kind of like almost a casualty of like the coaching changes in a way. So I kind of had that. No one wanted to ask Foster, so I had to ask him. I said, hey, Deshaun, like, what went into this decision? Like, what, you know, is it true? Like, what kind of happened there? And he's like, yeah, I forgot what he said. But he was kind of, you know, but he owned it. And it was just kind of, when you kind of see, because Foster's always like chill and like, very reserved,
very chill.
But like, yeah, it's kind of nice to see him also be stern a little bit too. So when I asked him, he was kind of like, yeah, that's kind of pretty much what happened. And he said, as the head coach, I have the right to do that in certain situations, and this was one of them. And like, okay, he just kind of left it at that. But it, even just like the way he answers questions, like he can kind of, I don't want to say take him serious, because I think he takes them all serious, but like, he takes ownership of the decisions he's making. He doesn't try to dance around them. Even when we talked to EB and, you know, he kind of mentioned, we kind of asked, like, what is the relationship with Deshaun Foster and the offense? And does EB kind of have the freedom to just do what he wants or whatever and with the offense? And EB said it's a collaborative effort, right? Just among, you know, all the guys on the staff and stuff, which is good. And then so we asked Foster about it. He said, yeah, it's obviously collaborative, but he said it's my team, you know, like, so what I said kind of goes deal. And I was like, ooh, like, I like that. Like, it's just like, it's ownership. Because a lot of times with Chip, and I'm not trying to compare Deshaun to Chip, but Chip would always like say, it was, oh, all the coaches together. Like, everything was collaborative, which is fine and which could be true. But, I don't know. It's just like interesting just to see a different tone from Deshaun. Well, now that we're kind of moving away from a lot of like the easy questions and stuff, and like, how was your first month of camp and stuff? So now we're just kind of moving on into like the nitty gritty. And as things pop up, you know, tell us about Ali Kaho. Tell us about how you're going to address the edge rusher in the transfer portal, different things like that. So it's just been nice. It's been nice to see. So make sure you guys are checking out the press conferences, is I guess part of the point that I'm making. To see what Deshaun Foster says, obviously, read all of our stories, ocregister.com for all the stories that me and my colleagues are writing about the team. But yeah, overall, it's just a good vibe. I think we're going to be talking to more assistant coaches. So getting to meet a lot of the new coaches. I'm kind of curious to see how that goes, but, everyone seems to be enjoying their spring and hopefully, it stays that way. Anything else, Josh, before we head out? Anything that I missed? Anything else from practice you want to talk about?
No, I think we got everything down.
I think we did get everything. So we'll kind of wrap things up there. So there's officially no more. There's no one that you were teammates with on the roster anymore, right?
Hudson Havermill.
Damn, Ciale, wait. Hudson. Wait, there's still more people.
Noveed. Keegan.
I thought we were done with everybody.
I think Logan Lloyd came the year after. I should have played with Addison. I didn't get to play with him. Okay, Medrano.
You see, you did play. Okay, yeah.
Vaney. There's a handful of guys that are still around. Josh. Carlin.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Josh Carlin. So, and those are all like 5 years.
That's right. How can I forget Chase Griffin?
Chase Griffin, yeah.
President. You got to see my boy.
Speaking of Chase Griffin, real quick. They asked Deshaun about it, and I'm not surprised, and I've seen him do it before. I guess Jason Griffin was talking to Congress again.
You didn't see that?
I mean, I saw it like a month ago. When he's doing it again, like recently.
I mean, they might have just asked it because I think hasn't been around. but it just like it's Chase, like it fits him so well, like. I hope he does get into politics one day because it's just that's just him. Like, I want to vote for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's his personality. Right. Great guy to have. I seen that part. He's that's like somebody great to have. One of the best NIL student athletes in the country. Mm-hmm. And for a coach to ask, you know, for advice, like, that's major. And because clearly it matters to Coach Foster. So actually listen to a student athlete like Chase is big.
Well, yeah, when you got the NIL king there, I mean, you'd be silly not to ask him. Anyways, we do got to get Chase Griffin on the podcast at some point. But yeah, so we'll try and have some more content for you guys. I'm still going to try and get some interviews for you guys as we kind of move along through the spring and obviously into fall camp and whatnot. Coachella's coming up, Josh, so I'm going to be busy with that in 2 weeks, something like that. So that's going to be a thing. Are you familiar with anyone on the lineup?
That's spring game or not?
The week after. I wouldn't miss the spring game. I got to see what all the hype's about. Okay. I can't miss that.
What, Tyler the Creator?
Is he on the lineup?
Is he not?
No.
Is he not? That's not, he's not day two?
I don't think so. He was on it. I think you think about last year. He's been there like the last. He's been there like two of the last four times, so I don't think he's there.
What are the headlines?
Let's see. I need you to put me on game, Josh. I need you to kind of catch.
Coachella, oh, he's the headliner. See, okay. Hey. Look, dude, honestly,
with you. Coachella's not my vibe either, but they had me go for work, and I'm not gonna say no.
I feel that. Me personally, I'm not a big crowds guy. I think me being as a bigger person than average folk, I don't like being touched by everybody. And as far as like the mosh pit vibes and like the crowded vibes, like I would much rather be to the side, you know, kind of vibing out. So, you know, concerts, I'm more of a concert guy than a festival guy.
So I learned that the hard way. I went to my first Coachella was one with Beyonce, and we had to be in the front. Got packed like sardines. It was crazy. People were passing out left and right because they were hyperventilating and everything. It was wild. Do you know anything from Lana Del Rey? I'm sure you heard of these people. Or Doja Cat? Those are the other headliners.
Yeah, definitely not my type of festival, man.
No? Not your vibe? I'm gonna see.
Let me go to Stagecoach the week after.
Stagecoach, I'd be down to do a Stagecoach. I would. I'd be open to it. Okay, real quick. Ice Spice.
They do call me Ice Spice in Canada when I have my hair out. Okay. Which is crazy. Like a joke on my team last year, which is crazy.
That's wild. Okay, they're not having you rap or anything though, right?
No chance.
Okay, no chance. All right. Ice Spice. Okay, but do you like Ice Spice? This is a safe space.
Yeah.
Like, Okay.
Really catchy beats. Really, really catchy beats.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are like, you really like it? I'm like, hell, I don't know half what she's saying, but it's catchy. So, anyways, this is a safe space here at the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. Thank you guys again so much for listening. As always, we'll try and bring some more episodes to you guys, obviously, as we get through a busy spring season. But thanks again, as always, Josh, for joining us. Everyone, thank you guys for listening. If you guys haven't noticed or aren't aware, and maybe I should put a link so you guys are aware, we're posting up the videos on YouTube. So make sure you guys go over to the YouTube channel. You can just type in Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. Just type it in on YouTube, and you can see our faces over there. Other than that, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, do whatever you need to do on your favorite audio platform. It helps us out. It goes a long way. If you have any questions, make sure you ask Josh and I. And yeah. So thank you guys. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.